Open their Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll start reading at verse 12. Last night we opened our Bibles to chapter 12 and begin reading at verse 17. But tonight, today, we're going to open to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 12. I want to look at a story today, and if we have children here, I'm going to speak to you of the story of David and Goliath. It's a very interesting story. We have read about it to our children. But I'm wondering, those of us as adults, if we ever got anything out of the story of David and Goliath for ourselves. And we see what's happening here. The battle is set in array, and now the Philistines, in verse 1, have gathered together their armies to battle. Verse 12. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And we see down the youngest son, verse 14. But in verse 18, David is asked to do something. Carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fear and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. And he took and went to Jesse and commanded him, and he came to the trench to the host, was going forth to fight and shout for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper, the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. The armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free from Israel. No taxes. Imagine living in that house. And David spake to the man and stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistines and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David answered him after this manner, and you notice what his brother was looking at him here. This is one thing that always bothered me, you know. Of all the armies, look who's going to speak to him, what he's going to say. His eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest thou down here? He said, hither. With whom hast thou left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, thy naughtiness. That's something, the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down, thou mightest see the battle. David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? Verse 35, he's brought in before Saul, and Saul said, you're only a youth, in verse 33, verse 35. He said, and I went out after him, speaking of the bear and the lion, and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him and I slew him. Thy servant who slew both the lion and the bear, this uncircumcised Philistine, shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Long story. Verse 40, he took a staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones, and he went to the brook. He put them in the shepherd's bag. The sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beast of the field. And David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thy carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Verse 49, David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sunk into the forehead and he fell upon his face to the ground. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. May the Lord add a blessing to his word today. You know, and what made me think of this was in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 13, Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I don't have to tell you, I got one of those stupid coughs, and I've had them now for about 20, 25 years. You know, as I come here today, my mind goes right back to a time when I came to this gospel hall for the first time. In my van was 3 little boys and a little girl. As I made my way across from Calgary, as we spent that year there back in 98, and I remember just outside of here, that little boy of mine, as he said, Daddy, can Michael and I go for a race before we go to the meeting? He had a new pair of running shoes. You remember those days? And he got out of the van, and I watched him run down the sidewalk, and he took a seizure, and he went down and tore the side off his face. I remember coming here discouraged and upset because of the battles that was going on inside. You know, in 2002, by the way, the Lord healed him. My wife was sitting down with him on a chair in Calgary, and I went to work and I came back and she had him in her arms the whole day. And she said, David, she said, I don't know if you're going to accept what I did today. She said, we have fought tooth and nail. We were ready to go to the U.S. to put him on a diet. We sold our house. We were ready to offer anything for that child. She said, I bowed my head before you walked in the door. And I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. Whatever you have for this boy's life, please do it. I surrender. I stop fighting. Thought of Abraham. The Lord didn't want Isaac, did he? He wanted Abraham's heart. You know, that boy never had a seizure from that day to this. Why am I on that? I don't know. But that was in 98. 2002, we were taxiing down the airport in a 727 here when she took 4 blowouts. Went sideways on the airport, and all the masks came down. after we were here to the worship meeting and my brother and I were heading north, and they came in, they sprayed us with foam and get out, get out, get out, and we all jumped off and came back here and spoke in a gospel meeting. Wow. In 2008, my son went to Calgary to go skiing. His friend was Desmond Prince. And I remember that week he spent with that young man. I'm sure you all remember him. As he went out of bounds, wherever he went home to heaven. My son returned home. And he was home the day that he showed me his text. And he said, "Dad, I just skied with him. He told me he was coming to Newfoundland." It was a terrible week. In 2009, I said, "Son, we'll go back to the Rocky Mountains again." Ski the trail again. And I took my family and I came back. And I remember that day as we stood and got a picture taken in Golden. It says, "You are on top of the world." Interesting. Little did I know that off in the distance there was a couple that left Montreal and they were skiing on another mountain. They wanted to ski on Valentine's Day. And they got lost, and he took his skis, his shoes, whatever, and he rode in the snow. S-O-S. I am lost. And a helicopter flew overhead 2 days later and looked down and saw the S-O-S signal in the snow and saw the footprints. He went out and reported it, and he said, there's no one reported lost. Well, I'm sorry, he just did. And nobody went to look for him. Days later, they saw another SOS signal in the snow, and that helicopter again reported it, and no one went. The police, first time I ever spoke with an RCMP officer, one day before, I think it was now 2 weeks lost. Helicopter flew overhead again. And they saw an SOS signal. And they saw one man waving. They're Mr. Gillis. And through the jigs and the reels, they managed to get in and get down. And his dear wife, Maria, was laying cold in his arms. It was too late. And I thought today, as I was pondering my message, as I come to this evening, to this afternoon service, how many here are on top of the mountain and how many here have written an SOS signal on their seat? What about the seats that are empty? Is that an SOS signal that you know something about? He said, "We had no authority to search. I am telling you on authority of God's word. If you know of one that is drifting away, on authority of God's word, you have permission to go get him. Many have wandered from the fold." I want to look at the giant in David's life. You know, David faced two giants. When David was a teenager, he faced Goliath and he conquered him. But David is, we can read further when David is up in his late 40s or early 50s. He faced another giant. And if you are in this minister meeting this afternoon and you feel that you have it all down pat, and all you have to watch out for is that young person by the side of you, you have another story. The giant of lust rose in the bosom of David, and David could not conquer it, and he did not conquer it. He stole another man's wife and murdered her husband. It was a giant of lust that rose, and you must watch out for it. But today I want to look at the giant that David faced. Can't take too much time. I got it pretty well wasted now. Verse 9, verse 4, I never read it. And as I was speaking about standing up here today and the trauma that seemed to cover me each time I spoke here, I won't indulge into the trauma that brought me here this time. But I know there are many that are facing giants today. This giant is over 9 feet tall, and he was too big for David, and he's too big for you. You think so? Verse 9, the goal of the giant is to put God's people in bondage. Those he perceived to be his enemy, to bring them under him. Notice what he says. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. He want to put you into subjection. That is his goal today. And as I was reading over this chapter time and time again lately, he shows up in verse 11 to bring dismay and terror to the hearts of those he come in contact with. How is it with your soul today? You know, so often we lose our young people. And I once said in Prince Edward Island, if that young person sitting by the side of you today, if you do not know, he takes 2 sugar and 2 cream in his coffee, do not go and speak to him about something else if you're living in that assembly. You must know him. I'm not talking about doctrinal truth. But so often, you know, I had 4 boys myself and responsible for the Sunday school back home. And I just feel that I fail so often. You know, when the giant shows up, you know what was happening? All God's people were running to place fear. That's what a brother mentioned last night. Fear in the bosom, and run, man, run. David never ran. But you know, the first one that spoke to him, you notice what I said? You know, a lot of times our trouble don't come from outside the walls. They come from the very core of those of us who sit together every day. It's a shame. But I'm pleased with David. If you read of David and his brother, and the brother that spoke so unkind to him, David was the one who gave him a good job later. But I noticed here, and I just want to look here for a few moments. I want to look for a few moments at a few giants before I sit down. The giant of discouragement. Overwhelmed with the baggage of life and can't go on any further. I just can't go any further. I've added. You feel like that today? Are you discouraged today? The giant of bitterness. You familiar with that?
If you put that plant on your windmill and water it every day, it will destroy you.
And I was thinking, we so often, over and again, 700 times over and over, we relive that experience when it happened. Something went between a brother or a sister. What he said to me, what I said to him, what I should have said, and we just, it's terrible. But it's a giant. And is it in your life today? Giant of discouragement. You know, as I was thinking of the giant of discouragement, I wasn't the one that was looking at the clock in your bedroom at 3 o'clock this morning when tears were running down your face. Those dark hours and the wee hours of the morning so often are terrible for those who are passing through difficult times. David, he deals with the giant of depression. You know that your mind, I'd listen to CBC, and I know they're not always 100% right, but they said, in the documentary the other day, it says you have 60,000 thoughts go through your mind today. Most of them, like, what am I going to do tomorrow? What happens if... I can't, what do I do? What about my children? 60,000 thoughts today will go through your mind. Most of them will be negative. I listened to what he said. He said, he sent a negative message to several trillion cells who tell the immune system your body will act accordingly. Depression will often set in. But we are told what to think on. Not negative things, on the Word of God. But so often Satan would rather different, wouldn't he? The giant of anger. Do you know that the giant of anger, do you know that anger is only one letter short of danger? The giant of anger. I'm going to go quickly down through. The giant of exhaustion. The giant of exhaustion, just as how he operates. You shake hands with me and I shake hands with you. And hello, how are you doing? Good, everything's fine. Everything's great. You know? You are putting on a show because deep inside the exhaustion of trying to, the daily things, day after day after day, they're weighing you down. You are exhausted. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, come aside and rest a while. I do not know what's overwhelming you today. But the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The giant of insecurity, work. Maybe it's your mortgage payment. I know listening to the news, there's a few people having trouble with that one. The giant of fear. The giant of failure itself. I've raised my boy. I've raised my girl. I did the best that I could. They have rebelled. They have turned their back on the Word of God, and it seems like on God himself. Beloved, if you fall on your knees before God, you know what he will say? I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled. God will save them. You don't save them today. You'll save them tomorrow. The giant of a broken relationship. I don't know anything more challenging to see a single mom with children. And that what's gone on in the bosom, giant of broken relationships, and it's all around us. But you know something beyond is the mother of all giants who motivate the giants. Peter says he's going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Did you ever see one of the National Geographic lions searching for food? My daughter's down in Africa, and she sent a picture the other day as she was pretending she was kissing a lion through the glass. And you know, as you look at one of those documentaries, the first thing the lion is to do is to pounce on it, kill it, devour it. The word of God says Satan is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you drift away from the word of God and from God, you're walking on very dangerous territory. But God loves you today, and I want to tell you the battle is the Lord's. You know, as I was noticing, I had so many notes here, and I just won't get into them. But I was thinking when I come to responsible for the Sunday school, and there are those here who can witness this, we've seen our gospel all in Cornerbrook filled at times. And I can remember 50 and 60 children. And I've gone to the homes, and I've gone in, and I've dressed some of them, and I brought them out. And when I went back again on another day, the police were there before me and removed them all. And we watched our little Sunday school dwindle. And you know, as I think of Sunday school teachers, I thought of what I read one day when I was so discouraged myself. A man took out his pen, and I don't know if you're a Sunday school teacher, you might be a shepherd of the flock here today. You might be a single mom. I don't know what you are. But when I read this, it sort of made me wake up and think. He said, my calling is sure. My challenge is big. My vision is clear. My desire is strong. My influence is eternal. My impact is critical. My values are solid. My faith is tough. My mission is urgent. My purpose is unmistakable. My direction is forward. My heart is genuine. My strength is supernatural. My reward is promised. And my God is real. In a world of cynicism, I offer hope. In a world of confusion, I offer attention. In a world of abuse, I offer safety. In a world of ridicule, I offer affirmation. In a world of division, I offer reconciliation. In a world of bitterness, I offer forgiveness. In a world of sin, I offer salvation. In a world of hate, I offer God's love. I refuse to be dismayed, disengaged, disgruntled, discouraged, distracted. Neither will I look back, stand back, fall back, go back, set back. I do not need applause, flattery, prestige, stature. I do not have time for business as usual, small things, outdated methods, normal expectation, average results, ordinary ideas, petty disputes, low vision. I will not give up, give in, bail out, lay down, turn over, quit, or surrender. I will pray when things look bad. I will pray when things look good. I will move forward when others stand still. I will trust God when obstacles arise. I will work when the task is overwhelming. I will get up when I fall down. My calling is to reach boys and girls for God. It is not serious. It is too serious to be taken lightly, too urgent to postpone, too vital to be ignored, too relevant to be overlooked, too significant to be trivialized, too eternal to be fleeting, and too passionate to be quenched. I know my mission. I know my challenge. I also know my limitation, my weakness, my fears, and my problems. And I know my God. Let others get the glory. Let others get the praise. Let God get the glory. I'm a Sunday school teacher. You know, David took Goliath out. That was not good enough for David to put him down. He took the sword and cut his head off. And so often when little things rise in our life, it will become a giant. I do construction work and build houses. And I know if I allow an half inch here, that by the time I put the ceramic tiles on, that I do have a problem. And if you leave a little deviation in this wood, by the time you get over here, you have a mess. Listen, You have to deal with the small things in life. If not, great things will arise. There was one note I was going to pass along. There was a ball team that always seemed to win the game. And one man went to see the coach. He said, "Please tell me. Please tell me why your team always wins." He said, "If this team only showed up on a Saturday night and said, 'We want to win,' he said, 'we're in for failure.' There's throughout the week, day in, day out, the little things, the little battles, as it were, and the preparation for the big battles. And he said, it's because of that, when they show up on a Saturday night, he said, it's then they win the battle. They've already prepared. I do not know what battle you face tomorrow, but I know one thing for sure. David was a good shotter, wasn't he? That's what we would call it back in Newfoundland when he let that rock go from his sling. But I will tell you something today. David had to face Goliath. David had to go down into the valley. David had to pick up the stones. David had to face Goliath. But if God never showed up, David would have been a loser that day. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." I know that there's battle raging here today. And I feel so small and insignificant. I'm telling you from any personal experience. Because I never got the call. Cancer in the bowel, cancer in the liver, cancer in the lung at the fourth stage. I don't know if you got one. I do not know what your battle is, but I come to tell you today, the battle is the Lord's. And if he wants to heal that person, he will, he said in John's gospel. Mary said, "Lord, come, one whom thou lovest is sick." He came 4 days late, right on time. You know, it says Jesus wept when he saw them. He saw what sin had done. He was just overwhelmed. It says Jesus wept. But he said, "Where have you laid him?" "Over here. Roll away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Unloose him. That is my God." And he can do the same today. I do not know what battle you are facing. I do not know what giant is in your life. The Apostle Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And you might say, "Paul, you do not know my battle. You do not know my giant." Paul says, "Listen, on the authority of the word of God, I can do all things through Christ